This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, Tim Zimmer back at the studio telling me to go on air. I'm not quite sure what he wants me to do, but it's 6:19, and I guess we've taken a break. Tim, you're going to have to direct me here, buddy, because I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm flying blind. Todd Bell joins us, professor and director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. Talk about the latest on the budget battles. How are you, professor?
Morning, Thomas. Good to be back with you. I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Pardon our dust, but remodel we must. We got a couple of things going on, which is challenging, but we'll get through it. Tell me what's going on with the challenges in Washington and the budget battles there.
Yeah, the budget battle is a real big controversy here. We obviously have the 30-day continuing resolution that was passed. It has some increases for veterans affairs. It has some increases for the military and homeland security, but some cuts for a lot of domestic programs. And that's what really angered a lot of, particularly the progressive Democrats, when Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, switched what his strategy was last week. He said he was going to fight it, and then a day later he said he wasn't, because he thought that shutting down the government would actually give Elon Musk and the president more time and more authority to continue some of the cuts they've been making.
So what is the end result here with the debt, first of all? Does it increase debt or does it decrease it?
No, we still have the debt ceiling needs to be addressed. So within 30 days, the House and Senate are going to have to figure out what they're going to do about
debt ceiling. Let me clear up, Professor. I didn't mean to make it sound like debt limit. I meant the debt of the country. A deficit year to year for the audience, debt overall, and we're talking about saving here, but if it increases the debt, we're not really saving anything. We're shifting money from one area to the other and basically still spending more money than we're taking in.
That's exactly right, and we have been doing that throughout the first few months of the year. The debt is still going up because we are still running deficits. Now, one of the things that the Republicans are going to try to do is put together a deficit reduction package that includes what's called the budget reconciliation, which tries to bring things together where they're going to have cuts, but they're going to offset a lot of the losses of revenue of the tax cuts with some of the spending cuts, which they're trying to implement already. And this is going to give them the ability. This is just some of the friction between Elon Musk and the department heads at the cabinet meeting a couple weeks ago. Is they need to get on the same page so the cabinet heads can then go to Congress and say, it's okay to have these cuts, we don't need these specific programs, and that will give some of the cover to members of Congress to pass the bill that will reduce the deficit.
So tell me what's happening with the politics of this. Who was Trump, or it was Trump and Schumer, right, or the Congress and they were Democrat and Republican, and I'm trying to figure out who would have eaten it politically if the government had shut down?
Right. One way to really look at this is who's inviting the shutdown and who is not, who's more anxious about it going into it. And obviously Donald Trump and Elon Musk are saying, bring it on. We want the shutdown. Oftentimes Congress is the one who gets blamed for the shutdown, not the president. And Schumer realized that he was not in a real good position. They wanted a 30-day extension, and then they would have some more time to negotiate and have some more Democratic input on the budget bills. But this is not the full slate of cuts, and this was not the real fight that Schumer wanted to have. So I think he was right. I think it really would have given more power to the president, Elon Musk, in the short term. But he's thinking a little bit more long term, although probably at the risk of really alienating a lot of people in the Democratic Party. There's a lot of infighting going on right now.
What about within the Republican Party infighting? And did this play well with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, with the Freedom Caucus, I think, the extreme Republicans?
Yeah, it's amazing. Almost everybody except one member, Tom Massey, is on board with the Republicans. Remember, this is the issue that cost McCarthy his speakership a few years ago. And, you know, without Trump's help, you wouldn't have had Speaker Johnson retaining his speakership and getting this through. The leadership in the House is all very, very pro-Trump. It's different than just a few years ago because now Trump is president and a lot of these people don't want to stand in the way of what he wants to do. A lot of these Republicans who were sort of the disruptors and voting against their leadership, they were doing it because they wanted more cuts to government. They wanted to go to Washington, D.C., shake it up, and make the government more responsible in terms of lowering the debts and deficits. And that's exactly what Elon Musk is doing in their eyes. And so they are completely on board. We now have the Republicans unified and the Democrats more fragmented.
In their eyes, but is he really lowering the debt or the deficit? That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of, because it's easy to say we have a political win here. You know, I'm team red, I'm team blue, I won, I lost. But yeah, ultimately, it's all about the bottom line, right? If you're an accountant, it's the balance sheet or the financial statement, whatever you want to say. And what do those numbers tell us?
Yeah, and this is why we've got this 30-day continuing resolution. And figuring out what those overall numbers, that's going to come in these longer budget bills that will take us through the end of September throughout the federal budget year. We don't have those numbers yet. In fact, the CRS is putting together the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, putting together what they call scoring, which is assessing what the impact on the debt and the deficit will be in the longer term. Because, you know, a lot of these cuts are being overturned by the courts, and they're saying, you know, no, send it back. You can't impound that money. And we don't really have a lot of clarity yet. And we don't even know exactly which tax cuts are going to be in there, because on the revenue side, you have to think about what is going to be the loss in the revenue and where that's going to be made up by some of these cuts.
So to be clear, this goes until 30 more days or until September?
Well, they're going to have to negotiate the formal budget bills that will go through September. They haven't done yet. This continuing resolution just goes for another 30 days. And then in about 2.5 to 3 months, they may have to raise the debt ceiling, which they haven't done yet.
So what happens in 30 days?
In 30 days, we have another, you know, potential shutdown of the government if they don't get the budget bills passed.
But it would seem as though those negotiations would start now, right? Because 30 days is going to happen pretty quickly.
I mean, Congress isn't in session, but they've been working on these bills as well. And it's not like they're starting from scratch. They've been already, the budget committees have been putting together proposals that they have. They just have to sell them and get the types of amendments from the other members that they want in there.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Somebody texted in and said, Republican leadership winning swimmingly. Stay tuned for more. Same person texted in and said, Trump highest approval rating yesterday in 20 years. Somebody else says, shutdown has a boogeyman. Shutdowns aren't bad, and Reagan did it a bunch. Nobody dies or starves. I know traditionally federal employees, as we talk about Department of Government Efficiency, all that. And
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being a paid vacation for government employees because they've never not been paid for the time they've been furloughed. So I don't know that that's making the government more efficiency. 627, I guess we're going to traffic, taking a break, doing something now. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 629, Tommy Tucker, quickly back to our guest. Talking about the budget continuing resolution that was passed for 30 days, which has to be looked at again in 30 days. Todd Belt, professor director of political management program at George Washington University. I wouldn't run a grass cutting service this way, let alone the federal government, but that's what they're choosing to do. What do the politics say? Where does the polling stand with Trump's popularity, Congress, etc., professor?
I'm sorry, Tommy. I made a mistake. I need to correct that. This continuing resolution that was passed and signed on Saturday actually goes through September. It's not the 30-day one that I thought they were still working on.
Yeah, because that seemed crazy.
I got a couple of. Well, they had done a. Remember, they did a 3-month one at the end of December. You know, and we've been working on continuing resolutions for half of the year. But there are no real, you know, structural changes other than the ones that I said to Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs.
So, real quick, Professor, I'm sorry, but yeah. We have a mess going on here. Who's winning politically on this one?
Right now, it's the Republicans, I think. The Democrats are really fragmented on this. The Republicans are getting some of the cuts that they wanted. Democrats did not get really anything in this because it was completely written by Republicans. They're hoping that when they get the regular budget bills that need to be negotiated and implemented over the summer, they'll have more input.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We come back, we'll talk with Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about some coastal parishes suing oil companies. Right now, time for WWL First News. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 6:45 on this St. Patrick's Day. Just a fine morn out. 48 degrees right now. It could be a beautiful day going up to 69, 74 tomorrow, 79 on Wednesday, 66 Thursday. Another shot of cool weather comes in, 68 on Friday. Saturday looking great. Plenty of sunshine, highs of 76, and then maybe a chance for showers on Sunday. Dane Cialino joins us now, our friend, professor of law at Loyola. And we got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Good morning, Dane. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
You too, Tommy. Good morning.
Let's talk about, on a less happy note, what's going on with the first execution that Louisiana's carried out in quite some time. Tomorrow, I think, is when it's slated for. Tell me about the legal process that was involved here and what the arguments were.
Yeah, it's been an on-again, off-again execution right now. As of this morning, just before 7 o'clock on Monday morning, it is on for tomorrow evening. The Louisiana Supreme Court yesterday, late in the afternoon, denied an effort by the condemned individual and his lawyers to have the execution date reset for a date 30 to 45 days out in accordance with a Louisiana statute that appeared to require that. But nonetheless, the court in a 5-2 decision denied that request. So now the only recourse that these plaintiffs have is to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and ask that court for an emergency stay of execution.
But the legal argument was interesting because he wasn't saying, don't execute me. He was saying, execute me this way, but there was a strategy and a way behind that, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's always strategy in what these lawyers are doing. They were just in the effort before the Louisiana Supreme Court that was unsuccessful yesterday. They were just looking essentially for 30 to 45 more days of time to work on what no doubt would have been a petition for review by the entire Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal court in New Orleans, and a review by the United States Supreme Court. So right now they are running out of options. The execution is scheduled for tomorrow, and unless one or more justices step up from the United States Supreme Court to stop it, it's going to go forward.
Would it only take one if one of the liberal justices were to say stop it, or I don't know what the legal maneuver would be or legal proceeding would be, but would that stop it?
Well, there's one justice who is assigned to the South, essentially to the Fifth Circuit, mm-hmm. who can decide to stay the execution temporarily.
Who would that
to
be?
Give the entire court. I should have checked, but I don't know which justice is now currently assigned. It was Justice Scalia for many, many years, wow. But of course he died 5 or 6 years ago. There is one justice assigned. I don't know who it is offhand, but it's going to be up to that justice this morning to decide whether to issue an emergency stay.
And that's all luck of the draw if it's somebody that's Alito. Wait, that's the one you said that died?
Scalia died.
Alito is the one that's assigned to the 5th District now, and he falls on the conservative side?
Yes, yes. If it's Justice Alito, then he is one of the more, if not most, conservative justices on the court. So they would be unlikely to get relief from him.
You know, when it comes to the philosophy of cruel and unusual punishment, it is a somewhat subjective thing. I just wonder how the courts have ruled or determined what's cruel and unusual.
Well, in this context, it's whether or not the execution method would impose undue extra pain that is unnecessary to cause death. And that's the whole issue with nitrogen hypoxia as a method of execution. Of course, other methods of execution have been specifically ruled to be constitutional, like firing squads, electrocution. But the United States Supreme Court has never definitively ruled on nitrogen hypoxia. They have declined review in several cases, most recently in Alabama. And it's starting to shape up that's probably the most likely result here is that the United States Supreme Court will deny review. What's different in this case is there was a fairly detailed district court opinion from Judge Dick in Baton Rouge that, as a factual matter, found that nitrogen hypoxia would cause undue pain based on her weighing of expert testimony on her consideration of eyewitness reports from the Alabama execution. So it was a bit of a surprise to see the Supreme Court act so quickly in in the wake of such a fairly definitive ruling from the district court based on factual weighing, the weighing of evidence and making factual determinations.
And with the appeal, he wanted a firing squad or physician-assisted death. The only execution methods in Louisiana that are approved are nitrogen hypoxia, lethal injection, and electrocution. But so firing squad wouldn't apply because it's not legal in Louisiana. You got to go by what the law says, right? And they've had problems with lethal injections and either getting the drug cocktail or people to use it or to administer it.
Exactly. And in Alabama, there was a slight difference that the firing squad method was available as a choice to the condemned individual. That's not the case. That's not the case here.
Thank you, Dane. We'll take a break. Pick it up. We come back 6:51, 9 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. It is 6:56, 4 till 7. Dane Cialino, our guest, professor of law at Loyola. We talked about the death penalty case already. Let's talk about Plaquemines Parish v. Roselle. And Dane, one thing before we start talking about this, I see that Judge Clement is going to preside over this. And I had jury duty not too long ago, and he was presiding, I think, over a criminal case. Does he do both? Is that the way it works? Take me through that.
In Plaquemines Parish, the judges there hear both civil and criminal cases.
Okay, so tell me about this case and what this going on and likelihood of how it turns out.
Well, these are called legacy cases. They've been brought for the last several decades by private individuals, by municipalities, parishes, school boards against oil companies for essentially failing to remediate damage caused by drilling operations over the preceding 50, 60 or more years. The arguments being that after the companies finished drilling their wells, they had to clean up the property, and they failed to do so. So the plaintiffs in many of these cases have sued for damages for remediation. The lawsuits are fairly controversial because over the years people have complained that the plaintiffs sue the oil companies for money to remediate, then they take the money and put it in their pockets, pay the lawyers, and never fix the land. The legislature has stepped up and changed the law in some respects, but here this case is a slightly different since it's a parish bringing the cause of action against the oil companies, and the allegation is that the operations 50, 60 or more years ago have caused Plaquemines Parish to lose land, and that land loss is what they're seeking compensation for.
So they opted for a jury trial, and one thing I wonder about is the parish is the plaintiff and the judge is a Plaquemines Parish judge. Did they try to get this heard somewhere else, or did they want to have it heard in Plaquemines Parish?
Well, they want to have it heard in Plaquemines Parish because the plaintiff's hope is that the jury will be sympathetic
the defense,
to their...
The other way.
Right. Well, the defense really cannot move these large scale lawsuits that affect every parish resident and every judge in the parish are specifically excluded from the recusal article. So no, the defendants are stuck in Plaquemines Parish, and they're going to be there for the next several weeks as this case is argued before 12 Plaquemines Parish citizens.
Judge Clement said 5 weeks. This is going to be very complicated stuff, I presume, Dane?
It is. The damages models are complicated. The dollar amounts are immense. Billions and billions of dollars are at stake.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Oh, real quick, when it comes to cruel and unusual punishment, people are saying, why don't you just give them an overdose of fentanyl? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You got to follow what the law says and what the legislature approves, correct?
Absolutely. If it's not in the statutes, then the warden at Angola can't administer it.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it as always. Have a nice St. Patrick's Day. We'll take a break. Talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU, men's basketball, men's football, women's basketball, and more when we come back.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.